بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, باب سجود السهو, the chapter with regards to the prostration of forgetfulness. We have seen in previous classes that as-sahwu in the Arabic language, it means an-nisyan, to forget. And as-sahwu yukunu fi shay wa anish shay, to forget about something or to neglect something. And what is intended here is to forget about something. As-sahwu fi salat, to forget about something that is required to perform in the prayer, to forget about it. To forget about that whenever it's required to perform it. At the time it's required, at the time it's required, a person who will forget during the prayer to perform that, meaning unintentionally. Unintentionally. So this is the issue here, as-sahwu fi salah. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that it is Adam tadhakkur al-matloob. Adam tadhakkur al-matloobi fi salati. Indal hajati ilayhi. That he will forget to perform something or to do something that is required in the prayer at the time it's required. At the time that it is required. And sujood as-sahwu sajdatani. Sajdatani, it's two prostrations. The prostration of forgetfulness, it is two prostrations. And the one who forgets during the prayer, he will bring that. He will bring that as a means of rectifying this forgetfulness and this deficiency that happened in his prayer. And also as a means to belittle shaitan, targheeman lishaytan. And there are many rulings with regards to this affair, and this chapter is very important. The author, he only mentioned two narrations, and we will discuss them inshallah and the benefits from these narrations. And then after that, we will take some detailed issues with regards to the affairs of forgetfulness whenever one is praying alone, or whenever one he is the imam, or whenever one is praying behind the imam. There are many circumstances and situations that a believer who will find himself in, and this prostration will come up either because of something he did or because of something the imam did that he's praying behind. Possibly he's praying with the imam from the beginning of the salah. Possibly he caught the imam in the middle of the salah. Possibly he's aware of the imam. He forgot something. Possibly he's unaware. Maybe the imam, he forgot before the person joined the prayer, and the lights like this, and so on and so forth. So there's many circumstances that would occur with regards to the sujood sahw. So inshallah, we will take the narrations first, and the benefits from these narrations, and then after that we'll discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala a number of the issues related to sujood السهو, to sujood السهو. So the author, he says, عن محمد بن سيرين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عنه قال, that this is a narration from Muhammad ibn Sirin, from the Tabi'in. He died in the year 110. He's narrating on أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, and the tarjama of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه has proceeded in the chapter of Al-Imama. And for those who would like to return to that, it's in the 43rd class from the classes, from the chapter of As-Salah. There's a brief biography with some benefits from the life of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ihda salatay al-ashi, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led us in prayer one of the prayers of al-ashi. Al-ashi, the people of knowledge, they mention it is a time in the day, من زوال الشمس إلى غروبها. العشي is time from the times of the day, and it begins at the time the dhuhr comes in, whenever the sun passes the middle of the sky, until the setting of the sun. So then what is intended here is that he prayed along with them one of the two prayers of Al-Ashi, meaning either Al-Dhuhr or Al-Asr. So this event here occurred either in Salat Al-Dhuhr or in Salat Al-Asr. قال ابن سيرين وسماها أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه ولكن نسيت أنا. Ibn Sirin, he said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentioned the name of the prayer and he identified which one it was, but he said he forgot himself. He forgot himself. And it's this portion of the text here that the author, he mentioned the narrator on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Because normally he would only mention the companion, unless there's a need to mention the one who narrated on him from the Tabi'een. And this is the case here. So this statement here, قال ابن سيرين وسماها أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه ولكن نسيت أنا. This is the reason why he mentioned here عن ابن سيرين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. Somebody may say, why did he mention Muhammad ibn Sirin? This is the reason, because of the text requires for that. There's some of his own speech himself in the text, and therefore he should be mentioned يعني in the narration and in the chain. So he said Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentioned the name of the prayer, but I forgot myself. قَالَ فَصَلَّ بِنَا رَكْعَتَيْنِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed with us, and he's leading us in prayer, he prayed with us two rak'ah. ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. And then he made the tasneem. فَقَامَ إِلَى خَشَبَةٍ مَعْرُوضَةٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And then he stood up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went to some wood that was laid out in front of the masjid. And it's mentioned in other narrations that this was in the qibla of the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed with him two rak'ah. He's praying dhuhr or asr. He prayed two rak'ah, and then he made taslim. And then he got up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went to the area where the qibla, and in the front of the masjid, and there's some wood laid out there horizontally, and he comes to this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاتَّكَأَ عَلَيْهَا كَأَنُّهُ غَضْبَانِ. And he relaxed, or he leaned on that wood as if he's angry. He leaned on the wood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a manner as if he's angry. وَوَضَعَ يَدُهُ الْيُمْنَى عَلَى الْيُسْرَى وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. And he put his right hand on his left hand, and he crossed his fingers. He put his right hand on his left hand, and he crossed his fingers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. شَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ, like this, to put the fingers of each hand into the others in this manner, to cross the fingers. So this is what he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, وَخَرَجَتْ السَّرَعَانُ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ. وَخَرَجَتْ السَّرَعَانُ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ فَقَالُوا قَصُرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. قَصُرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. And السَّرَعَان, they left from the doors of the masjid. السَّرَعَان, the people of Allah, they mentioned, هُمُ الْمُسْرِعُونَ الَّذِينَ يُسْرِعُونَ بِالْخُرُوجِ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. Those people who hasten to leave after the salat. There are people who after the prayer is finished, they will get up and leave quickly. So here these people are called as-sara'an, those who leave quickly and haste in a hasty manner. So those people who were the first to get up and leave from the prayer, they got up and left immediately. And they left from the doors of the masjid, and they're saying one to another. They're all saying to each other, قَصَرَتُ الصَّلَاةِ. The prayer has been shortened. The prayer has been shortened. And this is what they had assumed, and this is what they are thinking. وَفِي الْقَوْمِ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. And amongst the people who prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, فَهَابَ أَن يُكَلِّمَاهُ. فَهَابَ أَن يُكَلِّمَاهُ. But Abu Bakr and Umar, they were afraid to speak to him. هَابَهُ, meaning that they were afraid, not that he's going to harm them, but it's a type of fear that's coupled with veneration and respect. Adhaiba أو المهابه is a type of fear that people of authority and people of piety and righteousness, they have. People of dignity, any others, they will have a fear of them, but it's a fear of respect and honor. It's called adhaiba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt he had adhaiba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who knew him the most, they feared him in this manner with honor and respect and love the most, and that was Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he's noticing this affair. The people who normally get up and leave, right after the prayer, they got up and left. And they're leaving out the masjid, talking to one another. The prayer has been shortened. And amongst the people along with him is Abu Bakr al-Umar. فَهَابَا يُكَلِّمَهُ But they were too afraid to speak to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Along with their knowledge, that they know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his methodology, he will clarify the issue. If there's something that's new that happens, or new legislation or revelation has come, or if there's an affair related to the deen and the likes like this, it will be clarified. So therefore, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma, with their great respect and reverence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they remain silent in this situation. وَفِي الْقَوْمِ رَجُلٌ فِي يَدَيْهِ طُولٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ And amongst the people likewise, there was a man who had he had some length in his hands. And he was known as the person with big hands, ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ It's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to joke with him sometimes, and he would call him by that, يَا ذَا الْيَدَيْنِ And this man, he is known, he had big hands. He had large hands, and so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes he would joke with him and be lighthearted with him and call him by the Ya Dhal Yadain, like this. His name is Khirbaq ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. So he is amongst him likewise, and he is familiar with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and sometimes the Prophet will be lighthearted with him. So therefore, he is the one who Allah had decreed he would be the one who stand up and ask the question. So all of the people, some of them, they're saying the prayer has been shortened. Abu Bakr and Umar, they're silent, radiallahu anhum. As for Dhul Yadain, he got up and he asked the question. So he says, radiallahu anhu, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Messenger of Allah, أَنَسِيْتَ أَمْ قَصُرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ أَنَسِيْتَ أَمْ قَصُرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ Did you forget or has the prayer been shortened? Anasita and qasurat as-salat has come also on qusirat as-salat. And Nawawi, he said this one is better. As for the text we're reading from, it says qasurat. Both of them have come, but the one that is more and also more authentic is qusirat. But the meaning is one. Anasita and qusirat as-salat, qasurat as-salat. Did you forget or was the prayer shortened? Did you forget, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was the prayer shortened? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lam ansa wa lam tuqsar. I didn't forget, and nor was the prayer shortened. And neither one of the two. So Dhul Yadayn and the companions, radiallahu anhum, they know in this situation here that this is the time of revelation. So there is either going to be one of two affairs. Either the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgot in the situation, or there is a legislation that was revealed to him and the prayer had been shortened. Revelation has been revealed to him and a legislation has come that the prayer has been shortened. So it's one or the other. So this is why he asked in this manner. Did you forget, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was the prayer shortened? As for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thought that he did not make any mistake. He thought that he had not forgotten. So at this time, he responded according to what was in what he thought and what he assumed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lam ansa wa lam tuqsar. He said, verily, I didn't forget, and nor was the prayer shortened. فَقَالَ أَكَمَّ يَقُولُ أَكَمَ يَقُولُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, is it the way that ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ he said in some of the narrations, he said, بَلْ نَسِيْتَ بَلْ قَدْ نَسِيْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ But brother, you have forgotten. And if it's not shortened, then the only other option is that. Then he forgot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the words, he said, بَلْ قَدْ نَسِيْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Rather you forgot, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَكَمَا يَقُولُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ He asked the companions and those who prayed along with him, is it like, did it happen the way that he said? Did I forget? فَقَالُوا نَعَمْ So they said, نَعَمْ Some of the wording is come in Sunan Abi Dawood, فَأَوْمَأُوا أَيْ نَعَمْ That they, some of, here it says, they said, نَعَمْ They said, yes, okay, they're speaking. And other wordings is mentioned that they indicated to him that they went, yeah, you forgot. And he meaning that if that's the case, the prayer is not finished and they're still in prayer. And the ruling of the prayer is still established. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assumed he left the prayer and he thought the prayer was finished, but there's still two rak'ah to be completed. So they're in this situation like this. So then they said, Na'am, fataqaddama sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa salla ma taraka thumma sallama. And so at this time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was assured that he had only prayed 2 rak'ah and that he had forgotten, he came back to the place and then he prayed that which he had left, meaning the other 2 rak'ah, and then he made the salam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. ثم كبر وسجد مثل سجوده أو أطول ثم رفع رأسه فكبر ثم كبر وسجد مثل سجوده أو أطول ثم رفع رأسه وكبر. Now he said رضي الله عنه that at this time the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he came and he finished the prayer that he had left and then he made the salam and then after that he made takbir and he made sujood in the same manner he did before or longer and then he raised his head and he made takbir. He said, Allahu Akbar. And then he made the takbir, and then he made the sujood again, the same way that he did before, or longer. And then he made, he raised his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made the takbir again. And he said, Allahu Akbar. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, فَرُبَّمَا سَأَلُوهُ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ فَرُبَّمَا سَأَلُوهُ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. And then maybe some of the people, they asked him, meaning some of the narrators, they asked Muhammad ibn Sinin. This portion here is referring back to Muhammad ibn Sirin. So some of the people, they asked Muhammad ibn Sirin. Then he makes salam again after that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ Muhammad ibn Sirin رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فَنُبِئْتُ أَنَّ عِمْرَانِ ibn Hussein قَالَ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. So I have been informed. I have been informed. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, I was informed that عِمْرَانِ ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he said yes, and then he made salam. He said yes, and then... And then he made the salam. So this is the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu with regards to the event here. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed 2 rak'ah. In either Salat al-Dhuhr or al-Asr. And then he made salam and he forgot. He forgot to make the other 2. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then whenever he was informed and he had certainty that he had forgotten. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back. He came back and he finished the 2 that were left and then he made salam. And then he prostrated 2 times for forgetfulness and then he made salam again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see that this narration, it has many benefits. The people of knowledge, they mention, and from the first of them to be mentioned is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a human being. He's a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created him. As a human being, and he is a man like the rest of the people. He is a human being like we are human beings. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشُرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْ. But there's a difference between us and him. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. And that is that he was chosen and selected to receive revelation. To receive revelation. So therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was commanded to say, and Allah told him, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am only a human being like you, but revelation is revealed to me. But revelation is revealed to me. So an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abdun. Abdun fala yu'bad, wa rasulun fala yukadhab. Abdun fala yu'bad, wa rasulun fala yukadhab. And whenever the people, they praised him, and he beyond the limits, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la tutruni. كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ. Do not praise me and raise me above my status the way that the Christians did to Jesus, the son of Maryam. And he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ وَرَسُولٌ. And he said, فَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. I'm only a slave and a messenger. So call me the slave of Allah and his messenger. So the one who is a slave, he's not worshipped. He's not worthy of worship. But the one who is a messenger and he receives revelation, he should not be belied nor denied. Rather, he should be obeyed. He should be followed and obeyed. So this is the moderate path with regards to this. So this narration clarifies the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not know the unseen. He does not know the unseen. He only knows from the affairs of this life and the hereafter that which Allah has informed him of and revealed to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even it has come in some narrations, inshallah, we will read them. Yani in this chapter, the author, he didn't mention them, but we will add them, inshallah, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgot another time. And then he told them, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشُرٌ مِثْرُكُمْ أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ فَإِذَا نَسِيتُ فَذَكِرُونِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm just a human being like you. I forget just as you forget. So if I forget, then remind me. So he may forget sometimes in this manner, but this is not with regards to conveying the revelation, that he would forget something that's incumbent for him to convey from the revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, he has al-isma, and he is saved, and he is protected from Allah, and he is infallible with regards to that. And we will see that even there's wisdom behind him forgetting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from that is to legislate these affairs for the ummah, to legislate these affairs for the ummah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the messenger of Allah, and he is Khalil ar-Rahman, and he is the best, and he is the best of all mankind, but at the same time he's a human being. So therefore the people should know his rank. They should know his rank and they should love him. And the love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is according to the legislation, and it's for the sake of Allah. And he should not be raised above his rank until there's extremism with regards to him, and he's given the attributes. He's given the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the characteristics of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is extremism. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent his whole life fighting against and clarifying the falsehood of glorifying and magnifying and attaching the heart to the creation besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the first benefit to take from this narration, that he is a human being sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not know the unseen. He does not know the unseen. So therefore, one will not worship him or call on him or ask him for provision or for sustenance or for protection and the likes like this, because he does not have the ability for that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are affairs for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. These are affairs for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So with that being said, we see the next benefit, and that is that he forgot sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's the best of mankind. And he's the best of mankind. So for this reason, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that if the imam, he forgets in salat, he should not be blamed. And it's not blameworthy. It's not blameworthy to forget in salat, to forget how many rak'ah he prayed, or to forget to make the tasbih, or to forget to say or do something that is an obligation, or a pillar in the prayer and the likes like this. It's not blameworthy. It's not blameworthy. Except in the case when a person will be blamed for this is whenever he will fall into the reasons that will cause him to be forgetful. For example, if he will speak to himself in the prayer a lot, or if he will listen to the whispers in his heart a lot, and he will not pay attention to the prayer, or he will leave his heart behind, and he will not be alive in this manner like this, and then this causes him to be forgetful a lot in the prayer. At this time, he will be held accountable, not for forgetfulness, but for being negligent and not having a presence of mind. So there's a difference between forgetting and then falling into forgetfulness because of negligence. Falling into forgetfulness because of negligence. This one is blameworthy. As for the fact that if a person, he is striving to perform the prayer in the best manner, and then he forgot for whatever the reason may be, this is not blameworthy. This is not blameworthy. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it occurred to him. So therefore, if that's the case, then those who are lesser than him, from those who lead the prayer and the likes like that, or even if one is praying by himself, he should not be blamed. He should not be blamed. And the next benefit from this affair is to mention some of the wisdoms behind the forgetfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this affair. And then the first one has preceded that he is a human being. That he's a human being, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he does not know the unseen except for that which Allah has allowed him to know and has informed him of and revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also to clarify the issue that forgetting again is not blameworthy. And there's an instance that I heard from Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, Hafidhahullahu ta'ala. He is mentioning about a story that occurred with Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And that Shaykh Uthaymeen, he was with some students and they're traveling. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's with some students and they're traveling. And they stopped by one of the masajid that's on the road in Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya. If you're traveling, there's stops all through the highways that have masajid that are for travelers. Masajid that you pull over and you can pray there, and you might pull over and meet other travelers there likewise and pray along with them. And there's no selected imam. It's an open masjid and musalla. So whoever is stopping by, they pray, and they pray in congregation if they're there. So it's mentioned that Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he's leading the prayer, and he has his students with him, and then likewise there are other travelers along with them praying in the prayer. And the Shaykh, he forgot in the salah. The Shaykh, he forgot in the salah. And then after he's finished, one of the travelers, and not from the students along with him, he said, the one who doesn't know how to pray, he shouldn't be the imam. الَّذِي لَا يَدْرِ كَيْفِ يُصَلِّي لَا يَكُونُ إِمَامًا. The one who does, and he doesn't know who just led them in prayer. So he's a traveler and maybe he's tired. Wallahu a'lam, the situation, this person, but this is what was said. He was said, and he said it out loud. Even Shaykh Uthaymeen and the students, they heard that. Whoever doesn't know how to pray, he shouldn't lead the prayer. So at this time, it's mentioned that Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, "Nam, that's right. Whoever doesn't know how to pray, he should not lead the prayer." And then he started, and then he went into a whole dars, a whole lesson about sujood as-sahw, and about how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself, he forgot, and how he rectified that and corrected the prayer in the same manner that he did, and so on and so forth, and clarified the rulings for the people, and it was a great benefit. And it was a great benefit. Yani, so this is something to know, that you don't blame the imam. If the imam, he forgot, this is something the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forgot. Especially if he's an imam and he knows how to fix that. And he followed the sunnah in that. So he forgot, like the Messenger forgot. And then he rectified that with the prostration of forgetfulness in the manner that is legislated. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So he should not be blamed. He should not be blamed. So this is the issue here. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will forget like this, and it's a mercy from Allah azza wa jal in order to legislate, and that he's rewarded sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every circumstance, and he has a reward in every circumstance sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he forgot here, and this is from the decree of Allah azza wa jal. This is from the decree of Allah azza wa jal, and coming from that, and he forgot because he's a human being. First, he forgot because he's a human being, and from the nature of the human being, how Allah has created human beings, they forget. And then likewise, Allah has decreed this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be a means to legislate this affair. To be a means to legislate this affair, the prostration of forgetfulness. The prostration of forgetfulness. So this is a great benefit to see the mercy of the deen and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even a person, if he is forgetful, then there's a way to rectify that and to fix that. And he would not have to start all over, or he would not have to leave the prayer and begin from the beginning again, but rather he would just correct that, and he would bring the prostration of forgetfulness, and everything is good, alhamdulillah. And everything is good, alhamdulillah. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration, the issues that will come, inshallah, in a bit of detail later, that the ma'mum, even if he did not forget, he prostrates with the imam. Even if the ma'mum, he didn't forget, he should prostrate. It's required for him to prostrate along with the imam. And likewise, we see that the prostration of forgetfulness, it is two prostrations. And there's takbir, yani that he will say, Allahu Akbar. He will say, Allahu Akbar. And likewise, if a person, he forgot something from the prayer, and he prayed and he thought he completed his prayer, but in reality his prayer was short and he was deficient, he forgot a rak'ah or two rak'ah, and the likes like this, that's what's legislated for him to do, is it, whenever he remembers or is reminded, to go back to the place and pick up from where he left off, and then he will make salam. And then he will make two sujood for prostration, and then make salam again. This is for the one who has made taslim, and he thought that he had completed his prayer, only to find out that his prayer was deficient. This is the manner to perform that. There are many details that people of knowledge, they mention about this. We just take some of these benefits now related to these narrations. Likewise, a person, if he thought that he had completed his prayer, but he didn't, and he liked this, and then he talked to the people, and he talked to the people, or he moved. Now here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and went to the front of the masjid. There's another event where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did similar like this, and he got up and went in his home. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that he talked and he had questions and the likes. And even some people there asking questions, other people are saying naam. Dhuriyadain, he's having a conversation with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this did not invalidate the fact that they can build on that which they had performed. Normally if a person, he is talking in the prayer, then his prayer is invalidated. If he speaks from the affairs of the dunya, his prayer will be invalidated. But here he thought that the prayer was complete. And then they spoke in this manner, even he moved in this manner, got getting up away from the prayer, walking and so on and so forth. If a person, he starts walking and the likes in prayer, his prayer will be invalidated, so on and so forth. But in this situation, it's not invalidated. And whenever he remembers, he'll go back to that spot. And he will continue from where he left off. And then he will make the sujood in the manner that is mentioned. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is so long as it's not a long period of time, or that he did not go far. Because it's known that the house of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is right next to the masjid. And here in this situation, he just went for a minute to the front and it wasn't long and then he came back. So the issues with regards to this, likewise, inshallah, we'll discuss them in a bit of detail in the next class, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Also, from the benefits of this narration, we see that if a person committed more than one reason for sujood as-sahw, he did more than one action that requires him to make sujood as-sahw. There's only two sajda. If he forgot one thing and then again he forgot something else, he wouldn't make four. He wouldn't make two sujood as-sahw for every time he forgets. Here we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forgot, he made salam. And then after that he talked. And then after that he got up. And these are all reasons. And these are all actions of forgetfulness. So sufficing all of that is two prostrations. So if a person, he forgot more than one time in one prayer, he would only prostrate the prostration of forgetfulness one time. And meaning he'll make two prostrations. He will make two prostrations. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration, the issue of al-hayba, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had this hayba about him. And this is an affair that Allah, he will bestow upon the people of righteousness and piety specifically. And some people who have authority in their lives, they'll have a hayba about them. They'll have a dignity and honor and respect, and when the people see them, they'll have a type of fear from them. But not a fear of harm, but a fear of reverence and respect. A fear of reverence and respect. And no doubt the people who know the rank of that person more, they'll respect him even more. So those who truly know the lofty status the most of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the knowledge of his right is and love for him is the strongest, is Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And for this reason it's mentioned here, فَهَابَ يُكَلِّمَهُ, that they were there, but they were afraid to say anything to him. They were afraid to talk to him, a fear out of respect and out of honor for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a type of dignity and honor and respect that a person he will have. And it will be given to individuals because of righteousness and piety. And because of a rank with Allah Azza wa Jal, he will place that upon them. And the likes like this, and it's called al-hayba, or it's called al-mahaba. Similar words have a similar meaning. But it's important to take note here the difference between this and kibr. Talking about kibr in the other class of al-kibair. So somebody would not mix the two up, because kibr, it comes from being haughty. And being self-amazed and thinking that somebody is better than somebody else or has something that somebody else does not have, and from looking at his own self and the likes like this. So this kibr comes from this aspect, and it's blameworthy. And there's a difference between a person being arrogant and being proud, and a person having respect and dignity. There's a difference between the two. So the respect and dignity, it comes from obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. It comes from obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody may, for example, invite somebody who is striving to be upright to go to dinner. And they'll invite him, for example, to a place where they sell alcohol. So he will say, I pass. I can't go there. So it wouldn't be for these people, oh, you're too arrogant. You don't want to come eat with us. Oh, he thinks he's better than us. Nah, Whether this person, he has dignity and he has honor and respect, he's not going to put himself there in a situation where Allah can see him and they're going to be drinking alcohol around him and the likes like this and serving alcohol next to him and he's eating food and acting like it's all good. He would not do that. So at this time he would have dignity and he will have tarafu' yani an hadhihi al-ma'asi. He would be higher than that and have dignity and respect for his own soul from falling into actions of disobedience. So this is not being arrogant, rather this is having fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is having fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So there's a difference between the two. Somebody being arrogant and boastful, I'm not going to go with you, thinking that he's better than them and the likes like this, and somebody who would turn away from disobedience and from anything that's foul and doubtful. So maybe somebody, he will have this affair and of dignity and honor, but somebody who did not know would say, oh, he's arrogant. But that's not correct, because arrogance, it comes from disobedience and thinking that somebody, he has something better than the other people. As for this hayba, it comes from being obedient to Allah. And this honor and respect, it comes from being obedient to Allah and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another narration in Abdullah ibn Buhayna. And Abdullah ibn Buhayna, his name is Abdullah ibn Malik ibn Buhayna. Him and his father and his mother, they're all companions, radiallahu anhum jami'an. And his tarjama has proceeded likewise. Wa kana min ashab al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the narration is clarifying and praising him. He was from the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم الظهر فقام في الركعتين الأوليين ولم يجلس فقام الناس معه. He said رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed with them الظهر, he prayed with them الظهر, and he stood up after two rak'ah. He stood up after two rak'ah. The first two rak'ah he stood up صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يجلس, and he didn't sit. And to emphasize the affair, he stood up and didn't sit. He stood up and didn't sit. And we see the picture here. What did he leave? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tashahud al-awwal. Tashahud al-awwal. What's the ruling of that? Tashahud. Wajib or rukn? Wajib. Wajib. This is the proof for that. This is the proof for that. We discussed these affairs previously, alhamdulillah. So here he says, فَقَامَ فِي الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ الْأُولَيَيْنِ وَلَمْ يَجْلِسْ فَقَامَ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ. So the people, they stood up along with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حَتَّى إِذَا قَضَى الصَّلَاةَ وَانْتَظَرَ النَّاسُ تَسْلِيمَهُ كَبَّرَ وَهُوَ جَانِسْ. He said, until any of the people, they stood up along with him. He didn't sit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the tashahud. He stood up, and the people, they stood up along with him until they finished the prayer. And they finished the prayer all the way until the last taslim, and right before the last taslim. And the people are there waiting for him to make taslim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this time, he didn't make taslim. Kabbara wa huwa janis. He made takbir while he's sitting. Fasajda sajdataini qabla an yusallima thumma sallama. And he made the two sajda before he made the salam, and then he made the salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see the picture of this narration, or this event that occurred. He stood up and did not make it to Shahud al-Awwal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he actually leave here? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he actually leave here? How many? Huh? What are they?
The sitting and the
tashahud. Ahsant. The sitting and the tashahud. Remember, there's the tashahud al-awwal, at-tashahud al-awwal, wal-julusu lahu. They're both obligatory. You have to say it and you have to sit for it. So he left both of them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't sit for it, and neither did he say it. He didn't say it, and neither did he sit for it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he stood up, and then the people, they stood up with him. And it has come in one narration by Ibn Khuzaymah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said in his narration, it's mentioned that it says, فَسَبَّحُوا لَهُ. فَسَبَّحُوا, that they made the tasbih. They said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, فَمَضَى فِي صَلَاتِهِ. But he didn't listen, he just kept going. And they reminded him. He stood up and then they said, Subhanallah, like this. And he reminded him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he just continued with his prayer. He continued with his prayer until they're waiting for him to make taslim. And he did not make taslim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather at this time, he made two sujood for sahu, and then he made the taslim. sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. So we see from the benefits of this narration that the one who forgets the tashahud al-awwal until he stands up, he does not go back to it. And this is the proof that the tashahud al-awwal is wajib and it's not a rukun. Because had it been the rukun, he would have to go back and get it. Just like he left the other pillars in the previous narration, he left two whole rak'ah, which is full of different arkan. So he came back and brought them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for here, he didn't bring the tashahud al-awwal, and he didn't bring the sitting for it either, because it's not a pillar. It's not a pillar. So we understand from this that the pillars, they have to be brought. And the sujood as-sahw will not rectify them if they're left, not intentionally or not on accident. As for the wajibat, then if a person forgot them until he went to the next pillar, he would not bring them. Rather, he will make sujood as-sahw for them, and that will rectify that. That will rectify that. So if a person, he were to stand up, then he will not go back to it. He will not go back to it. Rather, it's not permissible to go back to it if he stood up. If he stood up. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, what does it mean if he stood up? Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that that means if his thighs left his shins, because he's sitting down. So if he got up to the position where his thighs left his shins until he's up like this, then they mentioned that this is the limit. Others mentioned until he stood or he's halfway or almost standing up. But if a person, he remembered or was reminded before that, he was about to get up, then he goes back down. He was about to get up, but he didn't start moving all the way up, but he started to move a little bit, then he will go back down. But if he moved until he is going into the next pillar, or if he got all the way to the next pillar, or then he will not go back down. Rather, he will just prostrate, the sujood as-sahw. The sujood as-sahw for this. And also, we see that the imam, he follows, or that the ma'mum, he follows the imam in this situation. He follows the imam in this situation. In our class last week, we had touched on an issue about the basmala. It came to us when we were discussing the issue of the basmala and the difference of opinion of the people of knowledge. And we just mentioned the issue briefly, but I would like to just clarify a little bit more details with regards to that, because maybe it was not clear in the previous class. And that was the issue of the affair of al-aqidah and the likes of these masail al-fiqhiyah. The masail al-fiqhiyah. The masail al-fiqhiyah, they're the issues related to the actions of worship. And we know that the actions of worship and how to perform them, many times we'll find differences of opinions and different positions on how to perform the wudu or the conditions sometimes of this or salat or the affairs of zakat. That many of the issues here, there will be differences of opinions, and this is a place where this is allowed and permissible. As for in the affairs of aqidah and creed, then that is said, and there's no difference of opinion with Ahl Sunnah with regards to creed and belief. And so we wouldn't want to mix these two issues up here. So the barif here, the aqidah, meaning al-imanu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, wal imanu bima amara Allahu bil imani bihi, to believe in Allah in the last day and everything that Allah has commanded to believe in. From that is the recompense, and from that is halal and haram. That which is halal is declared halal, and it must, and the one, he will believe that and follow that. And that which is haram likewise, then a believer, he will believe that it's haram and he will leave that, and he will have a recompense according to that. He'll have a recompense according to that. So here we have aqidah, we have creed. We believe that Allah, he has created us and tested us and tried us with halal and haram, and with obligations and with recommended affairs and with prohibitions and with things that are disliked, and we'll be held accountable for these things, and we will meet him and be held accountable for these things. So we talked about the issue about the one who believes that the basmala is an ayah from the Fatiha. He believes that because there's a position, some of the scholars, they believe that it's an actual verse from the Fatiha. Others believe it's not a verse. So the one who believes that it's a verse, if he were to leave it in the prayer, his prayer will not be correct, because he believes that it's a part of the Fatiha. And there's an agreement that the Fatiha is a pillar. He's a pillar. So if he left off the basmala and did not recite it while he believes it's part of the Fatiha, then his prayer will not be accepted. We understand that? As for the one who believes that it's not an ayah from the Fatiha, it's a separate verse from the Quran coming in the beginning of these chapters. It's not an actual portion of the Fatiha. If he left it and did not recite it, his prayer is correct. His prayer is correct. Based upon his belief here, his creed here. We understand that? This is the issue that we were discussing about this affair. And then I mentioned that somebody, maybe he would do something that he believes is haram, and in reality it's halal, and therefore he will have a sin, and he will be blameworthy. And he performed something that's permissible, but he thought that it's haram. So based upon this belief in his heart, he will be held accountable. He will be held accountable. For example, if somebody is walking by himself and he looks over and there's a bag on the ground. There's a bag on the ground. He looks and picks up the bag. Inside the bag, there's a six-pack of Budweiser. Wali'adhu billah. A six-pack of beer. And he looks around and nobody sees him, so he snatches it. And he's thinking to himself, nobody's watching him. He's going to go home and drink it. So he gets home, he closes the doors, and he starts drinking. And he drinks one, two, three. And he's like, man, what's going on? He doesn't feel anything. So then he looks at the bag and he says, oh, this is non-alcoholic. Is he sinning? Was he sinning? Well, he held accountable for that. He's not drinking alcohol. Huh? But is he held accountable for that?
Yes.
Is he sinning? Yes, he's sinning. Why? Because of his intention. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. He thought it was haram. He knows it's not permissible. He took it home with the intention of getting drunk, with the intention of drinking it, and then come to find out it's not even alcohol. He's held accountable for his intention. This is the case here. And so this is an example of that. The people of knowledge, they also make other examples, and it's been mentioned of a person who is tried with zina. Wali'adhu billah. A person who is tried with zina until the extent that he can't even enjoy his own wife. And he turned away from his own wife and he would leave. And it's a story that people of knowledge, they have mentioned, yani, and he's clarifying this ruling. So at one time she wants to follow him to see where he's going. So come to find out he is finding women on the street in this manner. And this is in a Muslim country. And so she came up on him in that manner like the rest of the women, and then that occurred with between them, and then she spoke to him. And you know, now you like me. And whenever he can have her and it's allowed for him, he doesn't want it. But whenever he thinks that it's somebody else besides him and it's impermissible, at this time he will take it. And so in any case, he is held accountable for that. And this is a sin. So it's allowed for her. That's his wife. But he thought it's somebody else. So therefore, this is haram for him. He's going to be held accountable for that. He's sinning. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they even mentioned that, the fuqaha, they mentioned, like, before they didn't have lights. If a man, he came and he thought that it was his wife in his house, and come to find out it was not his wife. He thought it was his wife, and come to find out it's not his wife. Is he sinning? No, he's not sinning. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, even maybe he'll get a reward. Even because you get a reward for this if you fulfill your pleasures in the manner that's allowed. So he had the intention to do that, and come to find out there was it was not his wife. In any case, yani, the point is that the issue of creed, any belief, if a person believes something, he's held accountable for that, even if he made a mistake. So the issue sometimes in these affairs of the differences of opinions and of the fuqaha, and this was the point, that these are positions that it's allowed for these differences, yani, to occur. And this is something that is known. And it's not the same as in aqidah. But if there are issues with regards to conditions of actions of worship or pillars and so on and so forth, and in a person, he believes a certain issue, he has to bring it in that manner. He will not say, oh, this is a difference of opinion at this time. He couldn't, somebody who believes that the basmala is part of the Fatiha, and then he forgot it. And then he said, oh, well, you know, some of the people of knowledge, they say, no, you know, at this time he can't do that. He would have to bring the whole prayer again. He have to or bring that rak'ah, yani. So he would not be able to use the difference of opinion here because he believes that. He believes that. So this is not an issue. You believe one or the other. This is not from ikhtilaf tanawwur. This is different. And the people like that, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned also that raising from ruku', whether putting the hands on the chest again or putting them down. This is not a situation where you do both of them. This is not a situation where the sunnah is to do this one sometimes and to that one sometimes. Rather, this is the situation here is to one or the other. You do one or the other. There are some certain circumstances, like for example in the prayer, where it's the sunnah to do different things. It says sometimes it's come to put the finger like this when you make the shahud. Other times to put the finger like this. To do both of them is sunnah. You do this one sometimes and this one sometimes. As for this situation here of the basmalah, you do one or the other. You can't go back and forth in this type of situation. And based upon that will be, is the prayer valid or not? Is the prayer valid or not? Likewise, yani raising from the ruku' issue, inshallah, it will come. Yani a person, this one is not something that is done sometimes that way and that way, but rather he will find the evidences to indicate one or the other and follow that. And follow that. Anybody have questions? No.
I've seen in the masjid, when you leave the salat, they put their hands down. When you have to leave the salat, they put their hands down.
Following the imam.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Maybe some people, wallahu a'lam, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, you don't have to follow the imam in these affairs. But in the majuira al-imam yutamma bihi, in the outward appearance of the prayer, as for these minute details, it's not incumbent to follow him in that. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.